Wiles of the harlot. The harlot. Okay, verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. We've seen that over and over, that this idea of remembering, treasuring. It's a value over treasure. Verse 2. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. This, we'll see the word live over and over too, don't we? Live in life and that sort of thing. How you're supposed to live in Christ. But as my teaching, as the apple of your eye. Anybody look that up or have an idea? What's so important about putting the teaching as the apple of the eye? I looked it up, and it's the idea that if you're up close to someone and you look into the color of their eye, the concaveness of it makes you give the whole picture of the person from top to bottom. Interesting. Okay? That's interesting because my camera, if you want to take a picture of yourself, it says there's a little concave part right there next to the lens on the camera. It's interesting. All right? It says if you want to take a picture of yourself, see your reflection in that little concave chrome piece there. So you can do it and take a picture yourself and you get your whole self. Interesting. Okay? So, teaching is aptly that. In other words, bring it into your whole body. Bring it into your mind. Okay? It's personal. Encompass the wisdom of God over your whole body. Mind, heart, your fingers, your arm, your appendages, you know, all those things you can do right with your body. I think that's the idea of it. And what do you do with these commandments and keep my words and treasure my words and this sort of thing, teaching? Well, number 3, bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. What do you do with your fingers? Write them on your heart. What's the idea of fingers?
What you do and what you take.
It's kind of an action thing, isn't it? So you can think things, but fingers and motion and legs and feet and things like that are tied together. I think that's the idea of it. Okay? In other words, this idea of wisdom and teachings and commandments. Yeah, there's a commandment. What are you going to do with it? Put it into action, isn't it? Okay? I think that's the idea. Write them on the tablet of your heart. That's the idea of coming from the heart. All those things flow. Your motivation. Number 4. Say to wisdom. What do you say? You are my sister. And call understanding your intimate friend. So you're saying to wisdom that what? You're kin, aren't you? Okay? And you are my sister. You're my intimate friend. Close friend. Kin. What do you do with family? Sometimes, over, I guess another person. Okay? Do you listen to them? Are you maybe more concerned with them?
Spend time with them.
Spend time? Good idea. Good. Okay? And it's the idea that you tend to, well, we all tend to, don't we? Okay? Treat family special, don't you? Blood family. All right? And an intimate friend, too, don't you? You don't got many of those in life, intimate friends. So it's the idea. Say to wisdom, you are my sister and you're understanding and my friend. So you're telling wisdom you're part of my family. You're on the inner circle. Good idea, isn't it? Okay? 5. That may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters her with words. That is because of what we just learned before. All this sort of thing about wisdom and commandments and teaching and living and your whole body and action. These will keep you from the adulteress. And then flatter still uses words to flatter and seduce you. Okay? We're still back in this idea of adulteress on this part here. 6. For at the window of my house I looked out through my lattice. So I'm looking out. And I saw, and this is the adulteress saying this, for at the window of my house I looked out through my lattice, and I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense. So she's after who?
I don't believe that this is the seductress talking.
Okay.
Yeah. I think this is the teacher talking.
Okay.
The I from first one is my son. I believe this is the teacher. And I think that's when you get to verse 8, it's her.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's from a different person, a different perspective.
Well, I'm thinking that's all the same because it continues the thought. Let's just continue reading. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Okay. So who you're saying is observing? Wisdom?
No. The person saying my. Keep my commandments. The writer.
Okay.
This is the writings of a teacher to someone else. It says, okay. In verse 1, my son, keep my words. And the commandment is to say to wisdom, you are my sister. And then he continues on. The first word in verse 6 is 4. And sort of the continuing thought of still the commandment idea.
Okay. All right, let's look at that. For at the window of my house, I looked out through my lattice. If someone's looking out, and I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense or sound judgment. That's the who part. So, Pat, number 8. Passing through the street near her corner, and he takes the way of her house. That's this person that they were looking at. And 9. In the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness. So in twilight, evening, middle of the night, and darkness. Indication of what?
It is what needs to be seen.
Yeah.
Like first
that's right. Night. That's right. There's a little hiding going on. You conceal some things. Okay? 10. And behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. Now, her first part here, when she sees this woman comes to meet him dressed as a harlot, what's this naive young youth see? He doesn't hear her, does he? He sees something, doesn't he, to start with. Dressed as a harlot. We won't go into that, but I think we all imagine those sort of things. So he sees her before he hears her. And her attire signals what she's about. Okay, at least an indicator of that. And what is it? 11. She's boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. Rebellious. Noisy. Talkative, let's say. Boisterous. Okay. All right. Her feet do not remain at home. What's that? She's out of the house, isn't she?
Shirts are responsible.
Okay. 12. She is now in the streets, now in the squares, and lurks by every corner. She's out in public areas, isn't she? Now, lurks is interesting. Well, I don't know if the other versions have in the second part of verse 12. It lurks at every corner. I don't know if you have something else, Sally, or something else in that. Lurks. Second verse, number 12. Second part, second line.
It just says that she lies in wait.
Okay, okay. Lies in wait, lurks for every corner. She's hunting them, isn't she? Okay.
Kind of like a cat ready to pounce.
yeah, I guess so. Huh? 13. So, she seizes him and kisses him. Of the brazen flame, she says to him, okay, quote, I was due to offer peace offering. Today I have paid my vows. Therefore I have come out to meet you, to seek your presence earnestly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, with colored linens of Egypt. I'll stop right there. So she comes out, she kisses him. She's got a... I was looking at the brazen face and some other words for that. That's a saucy look. Okay?
Her says impudent.
Impudent? Okay, okay. So she's got some appeal now still from the looks part, isn't it? All right?
I don't know that that's necessarily impudent. I think the brazen look has more to do with what she says afterward. She says she's brought her peace offering. She's paid her vows. The idea that you can have God on a string, you can press a magic button, and then you shut him up by doing the things that you're commanded to do under the law. And therefore, once you've done that, once you've done your duty to God, as it were, well, then you are free to go about and do the things that you want to do, which is kind of what she's saying. She said, look, I paid my dues. I've done the right thing already. So now that I pushed the God button and, you know, done what he wanted to, now I can do the things that I want to do. I think it's very interesting that she even mentions Jewish law at all in this discussion. But part of that is this idea of justification.
Kind of like Catholics, let's say, like they usually watch it on Saturday night as long as they go to Mass on Sunday and go to confession.
Well, there's a lot of people besides Catholics who do
that. I know, but I don't think that's particular. As long as they go to confession, everything's fine.
It's talked from the pulpit there, though. Interesting that since he went down, I was due to offer peace offering. Did she offer it? I was reading about that, and that due to all, what you do, you prepare meat, and you have meat. And apparently she's saying to him that I have ample food, good meat in my house for you. So it's another enticement now to come on in. Interesting.
Well, she said she paid her vows.
Yeah, today I paid my vows. I was looking at that too. And how did she pay her vows if she was due to offer the peace offerings? Okay.
Well, ours says it says that she has her peace offerings with her.
Yeah. She's pretending to be really religious. She's pretending to be religious.
Right, exactly.
Okay. And that gives some validity, isn't it? Or the ones going into an adulterous, I guess. I don't know how, but it does. Okay? It's kind of like a, you know, a false teacher and a false prophet who use some verses every now and then. Okay? There's also some thought, too, that this that today I paid my vows is kind of an ironic twist to calling the young man a sacrifice. That's kind of interesting thing. Okay? 15, therefore, I have come out to meet you, to seek your presence earnestly, and I have found you. She's praised him, isn't she? I come out for you, you alone. I want your presence earnestly.
She appeals to his ego.
Yeah, that's right. You're special. You're a special. Okay? And look what I've done. I've got, you know, I've kissed you already. Okay? Come on in. I've got things for you. Now she goes on a little farther. 16, the enticement of it. I have spread my couch with coverings, with colored linens of Egypt. I've sprinkled my bed with myrrh, aloe, and cinnamon. This Egypt and cinnamon and aloe and all that sort of things are things that appeal to the size, eyes, smell. Even looking at those fine things, you know, it's the idea that, you know, it's not a wrinkled, dirty canvas, you know, kind of thing. Okay, this is fine area he's coming into.
Well, that's what he says in John's first epistle. He talks about how sin appeals to people. He's lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And all three of those, she's appealed to his ego. She's appealed to his senses in both his vision and physical things. I mean, so really, anything that sells itself on any of those three things, it's a pretty good idea that probably not what God's looking at.
Yeah, she's being this appeal now to his senses.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's going to make a little turn in 18. Okay.
I think cinnamon's also going to be a form of an aphrodisiac.
Okay. Oh, okay. Come, let us drink our love, our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves and with caresses. That verse alone is the idea of an appeal, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There's an appeal there to continued, okay, throughout the evening and the night. Okay, is that an appeal to a young man?
Or appeal to any man.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Appeal to a young woman?
Not if he says his husband's not home.
My wife's not home these days. She's on a long business trip. It works that way, too. All right? She's off to Dallas. Okay. Let's see. Let's delight ourselves with caresses. Sexual pleasure now has come into it. All right? And 19. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. Well, what does that tell the young man?
Coast is clear.
That's right.
Don't have to worry about things.
That, like you saw in the other chapter, that man with vengeance, when he comes through, the husband, he's not going to be there.
Oh, but he'll come home early.
There,
take another
simple.
Yeah, this guy is not the best.
It's the idea that you can relieve that out of the back of your mind. I'm not going to be caught. Or she's not going to be caught. Okay? Interesting. All right. So these are enticements, aren't they? All right. 20, he has taken a bag of money with him. At the full moon, he will come home.
She's telling the kid this.
Same idea. I'm not sure about the bag of money. Maybe
he's going to be gone for a long time.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. Okay. Interesting today, when you see gone for a long time, I wish James was here. I was thinking about military families. Mm-hmm. You know, the enticements, the problems, when you, the, you know, the one spouse stays in the United States and one's gone on tours, mm-hmm. you know, for a year, you know, come back for a couple of months and gone. Okay. Oil companies, the same idea. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're gone for, you know, a while. Mm-hmm. And I know with Todd, it was good. Aldrich, it was good with him that the family came. You know, mm-hmm. the company was such a way that they would do that. Okay, but a lot of times it's not that way. I can remember way back when the Middle East was getting started. Back in the well, it's always been there. They've always done oil out of the Middle East. But back in the 80s, there was a member of another congregation. He'd been gone for a year. Okay, and there was always discussion then. Now, the wife didn't go, you know, adulterous or anything. That's the idea that you see there was a definite strain. And then, in those days, you didn't have a camera you could set up on the, you know, the internet. You know, live talking back and forth and that sort of thing.
No, they were gone.
Yeah. Well, there's still phones, but it was interesting. Okay? So, I just, as a side note there, I was just thinking about that.
Well, and, it, and it's not like it doesn't still happen. I mean, we've got several friends who are in the military because we're so close to the base and people that we worship with, and he's just, it's heartbreaking. Every time he goes on tour, every time he's there, he runs across so many guys who get that phone call from home. Or when they come back, they find that
I met someone else. I don't want to be alone.
Or all the stuff. I mean, he says it happens.
Or the guys that are there that are not being.
Or the guys there are not being
that's, see, that, I want to make that point, too, because, you know, we've got the idea there's not much, maybe not much opportunity in Iraq. Okay?
That's not true at all.
But if you're someone, say, in sales or oil or something, you travel to South America, or you go to Great Britain or something, there's that idea of
Aruba.
Okay. Yeah. All right. There's that enticement, isn't it? Because you've got money in your hands, don't you? You're doing business, you're exchanging things, you're meeting people. You probably got an outward ability yourself to contact people and communicate with people.
Well, not only
and people want things from you, do it.
People that are in Aruba and Panama that I know of for sure, they're looking for a way to get to this country.
Yeah. So they'll find American men.
Oh, I see.
Marry me.
Or fund my
trip. Or take me home and I'll clean your house.
Or even the idea that I just extended, I just went across it, you said that, say they know he's married, but he didn't want to tell his wife in Aruba. And they use that leverage mm-hmm. to and say, when I'm going to come and you will sponsor me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of interesting. Okay? That power over the individual contact, surety guarantee, we kind of talked about a little bit last time. All right? And it's something where we need to look out for these enticements, whatever it is, the situations we're in. Okay,
well,
when you're alone, you have to watch out for that.
One of the things is in this, if you read the safeguards in God's law to the people that the preacher is speaking to in this case, or the writer of these Proverbs,
yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
If you're looking at God's law and you're living under that law, He put so many safeguards about thinking about another person's. You love your neighbor as yourself, making sure that another person's welfare is on your mind, not your own, yours only. And so interesting that she even brings up, my husband is in another place. If you were a person who was really loving God's law, and you had really circumcised your heart, then there would be no understanding, there would be no way in which it would be okay for you to harm your brother this way. He doesn't look at the husband at all as his brother. He doesn't look at this woman's husband as someone that he needs to safeguard and protect his interest as well. His focus is completely on the things that he wants at that point, and that's the amazing part. Because if you read what God's law was to these people, they were really supposed to look out for each other.
Yes, as in a community view. And what about grandparents or parents of older children? Is there an obligation there to, if we know those warning signs here, you know, and they're gone, there's some neglect going on, whatever it is. Is there a role not for grandparents?
Absolutely.
Yes, it certainly is, isn't there? Okay, I just read that.
No, that's a good point, though.
Okay, the older women teaching younger, whatever it is. Okay. All right. With her many, verse 21, With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. That's kind of a nice summation in it. Okay? And she's trying to seduce him, captivate him, that sort of thing. So, in 22, suddenly he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter. And I'm going to read in something here on American Standard. As a stag deer goes into a trap until an arrow pierces through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare so he does not know that it will cost him his life. So this guy, when he goes into her, ox going to slaughter. We're assuming what about the ox?
The ox doesn't know.
He doesn't know, okay?
Okay. Bringing his nose and he's being pulled along.
Yeah, okay. And on the next, and suddenly he follows her, okay? In this American Standard, it has right after an ox goes to slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool. You may have that.
This one says, as a fool to the correction of the stocks.
Yeah. And somehow, as a deer goes into a trap or a stag goes into a trap, it follows the animal analogy a little more if you put that in there. But what about a deer into a trap? Does a deer see them? They're sitting there at a deer feeder. Well, that's nice. That's been going for a couple of months now.
All right.
But there's a trap set in there. And it's a few hundred feet away or less. All right.
What's funny is I think that the idea of the bird and the snare and then the ox being going to slaughter is the idea that you have an animal that doesn't know what he's doing. But the person who's doing the trapping does. That's the reason traps work, because you've got someone who's thought about the end consequence and knows really what you're doing. It's the dumb animal that doesn't know what's going on.
And the trap is something that's tried and true. It's been tried many times before. It's perfected. All right?
Build a better mouse trap.
Well, it's perfected of allurements by smell and taste and sight and words. And okay? And the mental assurances that you won't be caught. Okay? Or less likely to be caught. All right? Interesting, isn't it? Okay? And that's what the young man has to know. And this young man, or the naive, has to know that... It's going to cost him his life. But he doesn't know that. The last part of 23. You don't recognize a danger. I think about that sometimes on children. Don't run out in the street.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand the danger, do they?
Well, it's like you're trying to explain the word hot. They don't know what hot is until they
find out.
Yeah.
They find out.
Of course, we don't want to go through adult until we... Okay, but... Yeah, I understand. And all those are learning lessons, aren't they? And here we're trying to learn by God's teaching, by words first, isn't it? See, if we have the intellect which is given us, we can, if we take these to heart, knowing that it benefits our life, okay, then we're forewarned, aren't we? Okay, interesting. All right. Does she have to look like a harlot?
Nope.
No. Okay, it's just one of the factors, isn't it? Okay. All right. If you're on a business trip or somewhere out of town for a while and someone says, you know, I live alone.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? All right. Or my roommate's out of town. Okay. Or my husband's gone on a trip. Okay. See, you know things, don't you? See, those are little hints. Okay, until an arrow passes through his liver, a bird hits the snare, just like Jeremy was saying. And we need to recognize the danger. Well, words and senses will deceive us, won't they? And here it cost him his life. Now, 24. Now, therefore, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many are the victims she has cast down. And numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. Is it painting a good picture for the one that succumbs to these allurements? Okay, whatever it is. Okay? No, it's not painting an end game, is it?
I'm kind of painting an end game.
Well, it is painting an end game, but not a good end game.
No.
All right? And
yeah. It talks about it like she's a warrior. I mean, the language is she the conquest or many. She killed tons of people. There's a power there.
In 25, what's the first thing that you don't want to turn to her ways?
Her heart.
Your heart. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. How many go in 26?
Numerous.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. It's a well-traveled road, isn't it?
And which is interesting considering the personal attention in 15. You know, makes you're the only person. I came out for you. It's you that I was interested in. Mm-hmm. And then in 26, everybody's been there. It's tons of people.
Yeah, that's so flattering, isn't it? You know, that's the whole thing about teenagers on a date. Mm-hmm. One or the other says, I love you, to the other one. Well, that's pretty personal, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Pretty unique to the individual. You feel special. Okay. So things we need to look out for. I guess the point I'm going to read here is the wise must be prepared for the deception and recognize traps that sound too good to be true. All right? So it's interesting in life. All right, we see that all the time. Okay. Anything about that? We need to think about that. Okay, and this is a good three chapters that dealt with this idea of temptation. But it's a wider point in it sometimes. We can see a wider point about the adulteress and temptation, that sort of thing. All right. Questions on three. A review of what we just did on these three chapters. Lesson three question. Number one. How is a strange woman described? Or the adulteress. 5-3. What about her lips? Her speech?
Drip honey.
Drip honey. What about her mouth and speech?
Smoother than oil.
Smoother than oil. And the connotation there is alluring. Don't push it away. Let's get more of this. See? All right. C. 5-4. Bitter as wormwood. And the same thing we just saw now in DE. Go down to death, lay hold of Sheol. All right. Number two. What is the condition at the last of one who commits adultery? 5:21 and 23. What's the last thing that's going to happen? That's the end game, I guess. You cannot escape God. And you'll eventually die.
Like Jonah.
I guess so.
Try to escape God.
Yeah.
Okay.
She can't escape. Three. What will take or capture the wicked, and by what shall he be held?
His own sin and iniquities.
That's right. His own sins and iniquities are like cords around his neck, isn't it? Okay? Bound up. You can't escape that. All right. I guess you say maybe the noose around your neck. All right.
When you start to get into sin, it does kind of stick out. It's like
it
binds you up.
It restricts you, doesn't it?
But what I mean, it's almost like a web. Like once you start to get in, it's hard to get out. It's all the stuff coming.
It's like lies, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah.
You tell one, you stick a point, then you tell them. Yeah. Okay. How do you break out of a web? I didn't say that.
Full throttle.
You need help.
How do you get out of cords that bind you?
You need help.
Well, like Elizabeth was saying, you stop sinning.
Yeah, that could help.
All right, that helps a lot.
That helps a lot.
If you know you've stopped sinning, doing the best you can, and got good guidance by Scripture and good people, okay?
Yeah,
you feel better about yourself? Makes you face the future.
I'm sure we've all seen one of those old, it's a kid's toy.
Chinese finger traps.
Yeah, the Chinese finger traps. You stick both ends in, and the more you fight it, the tighter it gets, and your fingers are stuck and stuck and stuck. But when you stop fighting it and just relax, out your fingers come. So it's kind of that situation. The more you sin, the more it gets tighter and tighter around you. And then when you stop fighting it and realize what you're supposed to do,
yeah. You're released from that binding then, aren't you? That's right.
Surround yourself with better companions.
Well, there's a lot of sins also that have long-term consequences. And so there's a lot of things that you can stop doing, but that doesn't mean you stop paying for it.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of things that have a long-term payoff. That's why one of the reasons I said that really the best thing is to rely on God, because one of the things that you're going to have to do is realize, I still have to pay for things. I still have to take care of a lot of the problems. I still have to change my life for the better. I can't do all those things just by my own power. It's not my ideas or my own power. I don't win this thing. I lean on God.
Yeah, for direction.
For direction, and I lean on God to help me understand and have peace when I'm continuing to pay for things that I stop doing. Sometimes that's frustrating, and you need God's peace in that. So it's not just guidance, but also understanding what His will is.
All right, next, number four. I'm going along, and I don't have a car, I don't have a house, I don't have any clothes, I don't have any food. I'm complaining all the time, I don't have enough money. What could be my problem?
You're lazy.
Lazy. Okay.
You didn't care.
Okay. And that happens, doesn't it, Mike? You know, it's interesting. All right. Yeah, you got to say something you're thinking.
Okay. And, some of them call that hard luck, don't they?
At least they got luck and got hard luck, huh? All right. And conversely, does hard work and effort and diligence and all that, does that make you have ample money?
No.
Not always.
No.
But what does it guarantee? A pleasant life? Good life. You can go to sleep at night and wake up in the morning.
Ecclesiastes talks about finding
See?
Peace and doing what
That's
doing,
right.
Doing,
okay.
Work
you can. Still enjoy your life wherever you're at. Okay? All right. Okay. What seven things does the Lord hate? Hate. Okay? As abomination. Remember we talked about that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, false witnesses who utter lies, and one who spreads strife. Last time there was a question, and I think it's good about the idea of how does this section fit in this part of these first 19 verses or so. Mixed in among this adultery and that sort of thing. And it may be the idea of folly, that here we are, you can have, there's folly with dealing with adulterers and that sort of thing. And but here, we talked about the ant, we talked about the scoundrel, we talked the lazy individual, those sort of things. And then God's idea of the things that really he is an abomination to him. These things are represented folly even in daily life, okay? And the young man can get involved with. And that you could be ruined and go to death just as well for these also. Now, he steps back now to number six. But what is compared to the hurt one suffers who sleeps with his neighbor's wife? But two things. 6:27-28. What kind
You're
of
talking about the fire?
Yes, yes,
on the fire.
Yes. That pain. Okay. So we talked about fire in the bosom or fire in your lap and walking on hot coals. All right. And when do men not despise a thief?
When he steals to because he's hungry. So he has to pay it back.
When men of the world don't despise the thief, don't they?
Yeah.
See? When he has a good excuse.
Well,
all right?
The funny thing is, it says, but when you catch him, no one likes that. No one likes to be stolen from. The idea is, I mean, I thought this was really funny because they don't talk bad about the guy who's doing that. You know, there's always this mythical person who steals to feed himself. Well, you know, nobody. Go ahead. Or, yeah, like Aladdin or somebody like that. So who's stealing for.
Well,
But if it happens,
what's that Robin Hood guy?
Yeah, that Robin Hood guy. That's all well and fine when it's somebody else. But when it's you being stolen, when it's you being stolen from, he says, when you catch him, nobody likes it when he catches the guy doing it.
Let's don't miss the wider point, though, of that. It's not the idea of steal or don't steal it. It's the idea that there's going to be consequences for action. That's really what this little section's about. There's consequences for action, okay? And we said last time, too, it's sevenfold. The scripture deal with 2 to 5 times. This is 7, so it's extreme kind of measure when the outpaying back. All right. Number 8. From whom will wisdom and understanding keep one? If you're wise, you're understanding, you can apply those principles of good choices. That's what we've been talking about this whole time, isn't it? To keep you from these relationships outside of marriage. See? Okay? And maintain a marriage, too. And one who goes after harlots compared to what? 3 things. 3 animals, I guess, or whatever. Okay? Ox,
fool, and bird.
Ox, okay? And the bird and the snare. That point's pretty plain, isn't it? I think about dogs and animals running across the street sometimes. They just kind of run across there. Squirrels, whatever it is. There you go. All right? What happens to the many who have gone after the adulteress? D-E-A-T-H.
Yeah.
Okay?
Indiscretion.
Yes. All right? It's not something you want to strive for. All right. Lesson number 4, Proverbs 8 and 9. We use the word folly, and we use the word wisdom. And we're going to continue that here through these next couple of chapters, definitely contrasting them one to another. And God wants us to live in wisdom, live in the knowledge of Him, and, you know, pass that on to the next generations. And that as we do this, we need to remember that God holds us accountable for our actions. Okay? But there's personal responsibility when we deal with this. And those are things we have to deal with. When we dealt with the adulteress, was that a financial question?
Partially.
Was it a moral question?
Definitely.
Okay. Was it a question of trust?
Well, when I said I do, I trusted his wife.
That's right. That's right.
When the husband left, stay away.
Okay. So trust is a good word. Okay. In God we. Okay. The only currency in the world that has that. Anyway. All right. So we need to consider this as we move through this idea of choosing wisdom or folly and things in life. Now, in chapter 8, does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? Have we seen that it does, doesn't it? That's what wisdom wants to do. Stand in the highest places. Go in the crossroads. Be at the gates. So does, who else is there?
The adulteress.
The adulteress too, okay. And those things that allure people. So, it's not a hidden thing, is it? Okay? All right, go ahead.
Well, one of the things that she thought was interesting is that you got, he sneaks in the middle of the night.
Where are we at?
In 7, he sneaks in the middle of the night to go see the adulteress. And this is all done in 8, it's a lot of it's done in the daytime. She speaks specifically to one person in 7, and in 8, it's a wide call for everyone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is it good to know, you know, like we're sometimes dealing with Bible questions, is it good to know the other person's argument or where they're going to come from and what way they're going to look for your soft areas or what approach they're going to make? It is, isn't it? Okay? Same thing here, we've been going through here. That's, I'm not equating them, okay, or anything. But the idea is always, if you can be forewarned, it's always good. Okay?
Warn the wise is sufficient.
Yes.
I think you say it all the time.
And that's good wisdom was passed on, wasn't it? That's right. And understanding lift up her voice. Now, verse 2. On top of the heights, beside the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, at the opening of the city, at the entrance of the door, she cries out. So she's in them very public places. She cries out, "To you, O men, I call. And my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence. And you fools, understand wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things. And the opening of my lips will reveal right things. My mouth will utter truth." So, is that all positive?
Yeah.
It is, isn't it? It's something everyone wants to strive for, I hope. Okay? You want truth. You want those things. I'm calling to you. Especially to who? In verse 5.
The people who
need it. Not even the fools. In the third class would be wise people, I guess. Okay? And so they're more susceptible, aren't they? See? Okay? Less learned. All right? All of us naive in certain ways? All of us?
Yes.
Sure are, aren't we? Experience does that, doesn't it? Exposure to certain things in life.
It just means uneducated.
Mm-hmm.
Also.
Yeah. Yeah, you
could be naive and just not listening to wisdom, but then you could also be naive and just being uneducated.
Yes, yes. I use the word exposure. Exposure to certain things. What is it? The greatest minds in the world may not know how to go on a date. You know, or interact with the opposite sex or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Be nice to people. Those personal, what do you call it, personal skills?
Social graces.
Social graces, okay.
And sometimes it's how you're raised. If you're raised in a home where your parents shelter you and protect you from all of these bad things, then we grow up. No, I'm not talking about homeschool. I'm talking about how I was raised. I was in public school, and you know how naive I am. I have nothing to do with that. But that's how
in spite of homeschool, no.
They sheltered us, and of course we grew up in a time where people were sheltered from all these bad things.
If you're grounded in your younger years with principles, good principles, does that help you when you finally meet?
Yes, it makes a big
difference. It does, okay?
Yes.
Who gets on the chalkboard first in your mind? All right?
Helps.
It helps. But it's still, you said a while ago, who you run with?
It's part of it.
Okay?
Companions.
Yeah, companions, isn't it? Okay? And, Leslie. And it makes a difference. And that's what wisdom is telling us. That here, they're susceptible here to the naive and the fools in this particular section. And in verse 6, listen, for I will speak noble things, and the open my lips will reveal right things. Noble is the idea of what?
Excellent.
Princely, honorable, worth listening to. So everyone's shy. I want to be called sir. If I was lived in Britain all my life, I'd love to be called sir or lady, right? Nobility. All right? I used to not like people calling me a dog, St. Bernard. But in life, I say, yeah, go ahead and call me Saint. I'll take that. All right? Anyway, that's where we're at next time. All right, we'll start there at 7. That's a good spot.